She's a real gift from the Lord. It's never just another Sunday, right? Never. And I don't know what your story is today. I don't know what your journey is this week. I don't know what's been hard. I don't know what's hard right now. I've been going to church long enough to know when everybody comes in, everybody looks fine. Rarely does anybody come into church weeping or exposing the hurt or letting out that something is hard in their life. But I know that in a crowd this size, there's stories. And I just want to encourage you to open your heart today to the Lord. He loves you. He's for you, not against you. He's with you. He has an amazing plan for you. And I just want to encourage you to just open your heart and let the Lord do His work in your life this morning. Amen. Thank you for receiving us with such love. I have felt so received. I've felt your love. I've felt your heart. And I can only just say thank you. Thank you for receiving me. Thank you for shaking my hand. Thank you for many of you that didn't lock your arm. Let me come in for a hug. And it's just been a warm, wonderful time. A season I won't forget. And we pray God's richest blessing. Because this isn't the first time we've been here, I've had an interest in Evangel Bathurst. Prayed for you. You've come to my mind, and I've thought of you and prayed for you and your pastor and the team here. And as I mentioned the team, I also want to just extend appreciation to the amazing team here at Bathurst, the worship team, the kids ministry, coffee, greeters, sound, ushers. I'll leave somebody else out, but I include you all. You're an amazing team. There's a couple names I want to mention, but I'm not going to because, you know, you start mentioning names, you leave others out. But just details that need to be taken care of. I mean, some of you are just, you know, you're just what a pastor needs. A pastor needs people scurrying around, taking care of details and making sure things are done. And if you're, you know, one of those people that are making sure things happen and thinking ahead and thinking, well, that's not somebody else's job, or, well, I'll just leave that for the pastor to do. Man, you're worth your weight in gold, and I want you to know that you are appreciated. So thank you to Evangel team who serve here, who honor the Lord, who invest yourself here. You are valuable and important. And if you're thinking about getting involved, I would encourage you to be involved. Be part of the team. Be part of the team that makes it happen here, not just on Sunday, but all through the week and all through the year, because your piece is important. Amen. I hope you've enjoyed the series, Every Piece is Important. I hope that the messages have helped you, and that you maybe come to know in a fresh way how important you are to God, and how important you are to Evangel Bathurst. We handed out these Lego pieces. I hope maybe you still have yours. I hope every time you see it or you see a piece of Lego, you'll remember that your piece is important, that God sees you. I love that about our Father. He's a God who sees us, because oftentimes we feel hidden. We feel like heaven is silent. We feel like God and others don't care, and it's just not true. We know that the enemy's a liar. And so when you feel alone, it's not true. The Lord is with you. When you feel like no one cares, it's not true. Because the Lord cares, and many, many people here at Evangel care about you and your journey and your life. You know, having a family and raising a family is pretty exciting and overwhelming at the same time. I remember the birth of our first son. I'm going to go back to that. You remind me where I was in case I forget, okay? I remember raising a family. Some of you have done that. Some of you are in the middle of it. I remember this thought that I used to have. We have two boys. And I used to think when they were coming up, I don't know, when they were whatever age, I used to think, you know, if I can just get these guys to 18, I can just get them to 18, it'll be, thank you, Jesus. And I'll ride off into the sunset. How many know the story's a little different than that? Wow. What an awakening. Yeah, they're our kids. We care. I didn't understand that, and how would I until you have them, until you live that. I know some of you just had a sinking feeling come over you as you look at your little kids and say, "Man, I was thinking the same thing." Thank you, Jim. If I can just get them to 18. But they're always our kids. But I remember the birth of our first son. I was there. And I know there was a day when you couldn't, I guess, be there. A husband, father couldn't be in the room. But this was 1983 when our first son was born. And I was in the room. But I made the error. As Jared was being born, of being within reach. Because I remember... The most vivid memory I have of Jared being born was Bonnie was able to take a hold of me. This might be a little exaggeration, but not a lot. She almost killed me. I'm pretty sure it was the closest thing to being in the grip of a python. I was there, and she hugged me, and I thought, I'll never be the same. And I wasn't. But after we brought Jared home, I remember the day that I had this overwhelming feeling. I mean, it was such joy, such amazing. Jared was born just after midnight or somewhere in the early morning hours of December 24th. And we brought him home on Christmas Day. And I remember that just the overwhelming feeling of joy and blessing and emotion at having this child in our lives. But not long after he was born came another realization. The awareness of the challenge and the responsibility that was now ours to care for and to raise this child. Somewhere along, I don't know when it was, somewhere probably during about week two or three or four of having Jared in our home, I remember thinking, not that I wanted to, but I just remember this thought, we're not taking him back. You know, because, you know, usually when you watch kids, you watch them for a bit and take them back. Right? You know, they come and they go. And again, there was nothing bad about that. It was just this awareness that he is yours and he is your responsibility and you need to pour your heart and your life in doing what you can to love and bless and raise this child. So in this last message of this series, I want to speak to you about adding pieces. I've talked about how important your piece is We've talked about missing pieces. We've talked about broken pieces. I want to talk to you this morning for a few moments about adding pieces. Matthew chapter 28, if you want to find it, your Bible or on your device, Matthew 28, beginning at verse number 19. It says, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." This is known as the Great Commission. This is our purpose as followers of Jesus. This ought to be our heartbeat as a local church, Evangel Bathurst. It is what all of this building, effort, people, ministries, outreach, money, it's what all of this is about. Adding pieces, seeing new and more people become followers of Jesus is not optional. It's just like giving birth. Lots of preparation, lots of planning, lots of effort, lots of expense, all culminating in an addition to the family. I mean, the process and the journey, once we knew that we were going to have a child, I mean, there was this whole process to get ready to receive him. I mean, you know, a crib, a design. Who knew you had to have a whole house made over to have a boy come into your home? But, you know, the preparation you make is amazing. The things you do, the little things, the big things, the expense, the change. I mean, you almost, maybe it's not even almost, you'll do anything to be ready to receive that one new addition to your family. So let's talk about adding pieces. We add pieces when we care enough to connect pieces. You know, people will visit a church for 100 reasons. Maybe you're a guest here today, and I'm not sure what brought you here today or why you're here today, but people will visit a church for 100 reasons. You know, they have a family member that goes. There's a singer that's going to sing. It's the first church that came up on their internet search when they searched for a church. There it was, so they went and visited it. I mean, you could go on and on and on about the reasons that people will visit a church, but people stay in a church for primarily one reason. One reason. One reason. And rarely is it because there's just such a gifted speaker. Rarely. Rarely is it because the music was amazing. Rarely. Exceptions to every rule, sure. But they'll visit for 100, but they will stay in that church. They will connect to that church primarily for one reason, and it's relationships. Friendship. They made a friend. When they walked in, there was a person or there were people who they knew cared about them. The truth is that Bathurst has no shortage of churches. Northern New Brunswick, yeah. You know, some people would say it's off the beaten path. I'm not so sure it is. Maybe this is the main path and the rest of them are off the beaten path. When in Rome, right? When... But in this region, no shortage of churches, lots of good churches. Probably lots of churches that preach the gospel. What separates some from the other? What makes the difference? Growing churches. Missional. Churches on mission. Again, we read to you the mission. Go and make disciples. Churches that are on mission. Growing churches have learned one thing very, very well. They have learned how to connect pieces. They connect. Remember, every time we say pieces, we could say people. They have learned the skill of connecting. And to connect, you have to care. You know, maybe I shouldn't bring this up. Usually when I start it with that, I should listen to myself. And just not bring it up. Because before I said it, I thought it. Now why didn't I just say, Tim, go with your first instinct and don't say it? Well, there is an advantage to it being my last Sunday here. Now, I will say I would love to have an invitation to come back, but you know, so I'm not gonna throw all the cards away here, but over in the United States, I know, here we go, right? Some of you remember, will know the name Elon Musk and Doge and all of that process over there of rooting out waste and, okay, yeah, you don't. But he made a statement, and I haven't forgot it. He said, you know the problem in government? Now, anybody here serves in government? I'm sure you're the exception to the rule. I have no doubt. And you probably are because you love Jesus and that'll make you different. And that's the truth. But it's not just government. It's any job. It's any industry. It's any business. And it's true in the church. What Musk said was, you know the biggest problem in the government and all these, this myriad of agencies? He says, people don't care. They don't care. They just do their job, whatever, punch the clock, show up, not even show up, and still get their check, right? Just work from home. Wink, wink. Right? Because they just don't care. And I got to thinking about that, and I said, you know, that's true. You could apply that to anything. To accomplish the mission, you have to care about the mission. I mean, you have to have feeling toward the mission. Lost people need to mean something to you. Hurting people need to move your heart. The problem in a lot of churches today is that they just don't care. And I know that sounds harsh. You might say, well, how could it be that people that love God don't care? I'll tell you how it happens. Because many churches have completely turned internal. They live to feed themselves. They exist so that they can feel good. So that they can be served. Most churches today, the reason they're not growing, the reason they have trouble connecting is because they don't care. The one thing they really care about is themselves. And I want to challenge Evangel Bathurst, and I have no doubt that in many ways you are bucking that trend, but I want to challenge you this morning to care about connecting pieces like never before. It is the most important thing. It is the right and the reason this church has to exist. If all this church is just to keep you happy, well, then it's lost its way. Because show me in the mission of the church where it says, build buildings, create a team, invest money to keep people already going to heaven happy as they go. That's not the mission. The mission is connecting lost people. Show me a growing on-mission church and you will see pieces connecting pieces. Mission is everyone's responsibility. Everyone in the room today, it's not the pastor's job. Oh, we hire Ocean to do that. We hire Pastor Andrew to do that. Oh, that's why we have, you know, we pay people to do that. Sounds like my son. My son's the chef, our youngest son, and he'll come home, and every now and then he'll venture into the kitchen at home. And, you know, at home, it's not like any other place, you know. After you make a mess, you need to clean up, right? I shouldn't tell you this. I'm saying lots of things I shouldn't, so I'll just keep going. He said to his mother one day, I think she might have hinted at him at cleaning up. He says, oh, I pay people to do that. Right, you get it. I'm not saying any more about that. We pay people to do that. Now, Seth's, he pitches in, he pitched in. I don't want to leave Seth under the bus. I'm going to pull him out and to tell you he's A1. But I'll tell you this, it's your job. It's your responsibility. And yes, I'm looking at you. It is your responsibility. It's not why you hire a pastor. It's not why you bring Pastor Ocean in. We pay people to do that, to care, to reach lost people, to connect pieces. No, that's your mission. If you are a follower of Jesus this morning, mission is everyone's responsibility and privilege. A piece becomes a part because the connection is precise. It is planned and it is intentional. Why does Lego work? Because I can take any Lego piece that I handed out, I can go to another country probably and get a Lego piece. And you know what? Because it's precise, because it's intentional, and because it's on purpose, every piece connects. It all works because incredible effort and intention and precision. Can you imagine if you went home, if you bought some Lego and you went home and half the pieces you tried to connect wouldn't? Be the last time you'd ever bother with that, right? But I've worked with thousands, probably tens of thousands of Lego pieces, as most of you have. And they all work. They all connect. It all fits. Even ones you just wonder how will they, because today they got some funky pieces. They got wild things they make today. And you wonder, how's that? Yep, there it is. There's that point. There's that little circle. There it is. Bingo. Connected. I got a Lego in a room in our garage. I told you about pirates, and I've got little pirate people. I know, don't think less of me, but I got little pirate Lego pieces. And there they are, standing strong and tall every time I go in there. Why? Because they fit. And every piece connects. And I know there's a lot of misfits out there, and there's a lot of them that are here this morning. And I'm one of them. We're all misfits of a sort, aren't we? Aren't we? Are you okay with that? We're all you want to get up and tell your whole story, not just the parts you want us to hear, but the parts you don't want anybody to hear. I'm saying we're all misfits of a sort. But we all fit. There's a place for all of us in God's family. There's a place for you in God's family. I don't care your story, your journey, your history, your past, your baggage. I don't care. And more importantly, God really doesn't care about all of that past as it relates to you being welcomed into the family of God and you being a part of the family of God. Connection happens because it's planned. It's intentional. It's on purpose. You don't create connection by accident. We don't connect new people or form friendships by accident. We get intentional. And to do that, you have to care. We add pieces when we are passionate about adding pieces. James 4:9, the Lord is not slow in doing what he promised, the way some people understand slowness. But God is being patient with you. He does not want anyone to be lost, but he wants all people to change their hearts and lives. Adding pieces requires passion. And with passion, we will go to any length to make it happen. And I want to tell you here today, every one of you are capable of passion. The most reserved person in this room, I don't know who you are, but the rest of you know who he is. You don't get a lot out of him. Not much emotion. Doesn't say much. They say deep. How's that go? Still waters run deep. Is that how they say that? But I promise you, if I could find it, if I started talking about it, you know what you'd see? You'd see Mr. No Emotion and Mr. I Don't Care and Mr. Doesn't Say a Word and Mr. Lackadaisical sitting back. You know what he'd do? He'd lean in. You got him now. You're talking about the Toronto Maple Leafs. You got him now. Talking about the Toronto Blue Jays. You got him now. You're talking about quilting. You got her now. I don't know what you're passionate about. I don't know, but I know it's there. Some of you, it's music. It's your guitar. It's your singing. For some, I don't know. I don't know what it is. For those of you who want to say, listen, don't expect a lot of passion out of me. Well, it's just a matter of what we want to spend our passion on, that's all. Everybody has the currency of passion in their pocket. Give me your checkbook. I know they don't use checkbooks anymore. Open up your online banking to me. Let me look. And I'll tell you where your passion is. I'll find your passion. There are people that are passionate about Lego. I got a pastor friend who collects Lego. I'm told he has an entire room. I'm not going to say who it is because you might well know who it is. But I'd like to see that Lego collection because I hear he is passionate about Lego. What are you passionate about? Hunting? Fishing? Racing motorbikes? Sorry, Jim. I just happened to know that detail. Guitars? Yeah. We've all got the currency of passion. It's just a matter of what we spend it on. Adding pieces requires passion. And with passion, we will go to any length to see it happen. It's pretty simple. A lot of Christians have lost their desire and their passion for the mission. You know, Luke 15, It's my favorite chapter in the Bible, and I know, you know, that's might be disappointing in a sense because it's not a very theological passage. It's not a deep passage out of, you know, Paul's writings, and my favorite chapter isn't, you know, some prophetical writing that, you know, is just, wow, way, you know, it's Luke 15. It's stories. It's parables. It's stories. But Luke 15 makes it plain. Finding one lost sheep is more important than the comfort of 99. Now think about that. Finding one lost coin is worth turning the house upside down. And nobody knows where anything else is now, but we have found that one lost coin. When something happens at your church that isn't the way it was for the last 250 years, I know I exaggerate. Listen, sometimes we have to turn the house upside down to find one lost coin. And when you get upset about it, when you think, what in the world is going on here? Just read Luke 15. Because Jesus said, or the parable says, finding one lost sheep is more important than the comfort of 99. And Jesus taught us that it's worth upsetting the whole house. Flip the couch over. We may do it gently. We don't have to break stuff. And we won't break anything. We just turn the couch over. Or we may move the couch. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Do I have to get plainer? Or are you hearing me? Be careful about demanding your comfort. Be willing to let your comfort go for the chance that we can find a lost coin. For the journey of hoping and praying, we can reconnect a lost peace. Passion. The story goes on to talk about a lost son. And finding one lost son is worth every moment of love, sacrifice, and endurance. And catch this about the parable. The father wasn't surprised when he saw the son coming. The father was on the porch looking for him. Hear that? The father was on the porch, waiting, looking, hoping, praying. And Evangel Bathurst, I want you to be the father on the porch, looking for the return of lost pieces, looking for a new person that comes in those doors, looking for a new person that God brings into your life. Why did God bring them into your life? Why is this person living next to me? Why is this person talkative to me? Why does this person want to spend time with me? Why? Listen, have you ever thought about it? It's likely due to mission. It's likely because Jesus wants you to tell them about Him. It's why we have neighbors. It's why we have co-workers. It's why we connect to some people. Listen, I know, I understand there are some people that rub you the wrong way. And some of them are in this room. I get it. I mean, we're not best friends with everyone for a reason, right? There's 8 connection points on this one. Some of you say, give me the one with one. I understand we all have our limits. Not everybody. But listen, Everybody has a mission field, and there's somebody you can reach that I can't reach. There's somebody you can talk to that'll never listen to me. There's somebody that will relate to your story that could care less about me. It would mean nothing to them, but your story would mean something. It's why you need to tell your story. I don't know how you came to Jesus. You might not think it's special. I'll tell you it's special. It's remarkable. It's important. And you ought to tell your story. You ought to tell your story to your neighbors, your co-workers, people that open their heart to you, people you run into by chance. Do you think your life just floats along? How many believe in luck? Thank you for nobody raising your hand. I'm not going to give any more time for anybody to raise your hand. Because if you raise your hand, you believe in luck, you're wrong. No such thing as luck. Not in a believer's life. Our lives are purposeful. We are not drifting here and there. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. That person you meet, that person's heart, for you don't know why you care about. You're that person that needs help, and the thought comes into your mind, help them. Help them. Be kind to them. I think there are a lot of people in our world lost today that are one act of kindness away from the kingdom of God. If someone would just be kind. If someone would just be kind. We were in a restaurant a couple nights ago. And there was this young lady serving us, and she was a lot. She was good. And she loved cats. That was her passion. Usually you hear about people's passion within about 5 minutes, right? And she told us about her cats. And you know what? The thought dropped into my heart, and I found out later I wasn't the only person in our group that was having dinner that thought popped into, was to show kindness to her. Show kindness to her. So when it came time to leave, we made sure and did something extraordinary for her. Why? I'll say this, nothing more than because it came into my heart and the thought came to me, be kind to her. And I pray that God will give me a heart that responds to those thoughts. To random people that you see. It's how people get connected. Listen, that might just be a little piece of the story that brings her to Jesus. I didn't give her, I could have, maybe I should have. I didn't get her in a corner and tell her about Jesus. I didn't have anything in my pocket to hand her. Jesus loves you. Yeah, none of that. I just was kind. Maybe I'm just part of the story. It's going to bring her to Jesus. Passion. We add pieces by focusing our circles outward. John 4:35 says, lift up your eyes and look. Now I understand what time it is, and I understand we have communion coming. Will you just be patient with me? Are you okay if I continue for a few minutes? Is it okay? Okay. All those in favor say aye. Those opposed? You know, one of the horrible things about the way we have designed church today is that we sit in church and basically, now I get to see all your beautiful faces, but basically what you see to get is the backs of people's heads. I mean, it is what it is, right? It's how church has been done for a long time. It's not great. You know, I'm just saying about, you know, seeing the backs of people's heads. We sit in rows and, you know, it is what it is. I'm not saying do it different. I'm just saying it is what it is, right? But circles are better. I love circles. But circles also have a real weakness. Because circles generally see themselves. Would you four people come here real quick? Buddy, will you come? Yeah. You want to come up and help me? Come on. Let's make a circle. Yeah, we're going to hold hands and all that stuff. Yeah, here we are. You see, circles are great. You know, circles are great. I see you. I see you. Some guy on TV did that, didn't he? I don't know who that was. I see you. Was that Mr. Rogers? I don't know. I see you and I see you, right? Mr. Dress Up, was it? I don't know. I grew up in America. I don't know Mr. Dress Up, sorry. Bonnie knows Mr. Dress Up. But there's a real problem about circles. Ma'am, your name, is it Rhonda? No. Is it? Rhonda, we come. Just walk slowly toward us, slowly. Yeah. So we're going on about our life, loving each other. It's amazing. God is so good. Do you love? Yes, we all love Jesus. He is amazing. It's awesome. Keep coming. Yeah, okay. And, you know, it's just great all the while. And when you get close, just stop. And, you know, it's great. But here we are focused on each other. Just look at me, right? Focused on, we see each other. There's somebody within arm's reach that wants to get in. But we don't even know they're there. Because we just love our circle. And this is a special circle. And there's no other circle like our circle.
Yeah.
I mean, who wouldn't want to be a part of our circle, but nobody else can because this is our circle, right? And we love it. It's amazing. But there, we need to... Now, I'm preaching the sermon here, folks. There's a way to form our circles better. Okay? Still connected, still in touch, still loving each other, still caring each other. Let's all just turn a different way and hold hands. Okay? Okay? And hey! Hey, Rhonda. You've got a journey. You've got a story. Would you like to be part of our circle? Listen, I haven't got time to go there. There's another whole sermon right there. I don't know what the story is, but you just added an illustration to this. I know, some people don't want to be part of the circle. It's okay, buddy. We're still here. Hey. You just hold hands, face outward. Yep. And we can receive Rhonda because we see her. In fact, if we'd have been outward, we could have seen her a long way off. Mm-hmm. We could see her coming, and we could receive her in. And you know what, people, when they come into a circle, they kind of get a feel of how things happen in that circle. And notice when she joined this circle, she didn't face away in. If we'd have all been doing that, that's how. She faced out just like the rest of us, because that's how we do it. And we do that because that's missional.
That's right.
That's seeing people. That's being passionate and caring about connecting other people. You all did a great job. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Worship team, would you come, please? Play softly when you come. Listen, pieces are everywhere. People are everywhere. We just need to see them. Are you hearing me this morning? Evangel Bathurst, are you hearing me? We need to see them. We need to care. We need to care about our church being on mission. We need to care about connecting lost people. We need to take the currency of passion that all of us have, and you need to use some of that currency you have on mission. Hockey, some of you have got a whole room dedicated to hockey. Hey, listen, I get it. I got a thing about pirate history. I get it. I don't spend all my passion on that. In fact, I work hard making sure that the main focus and the main investment of my passion is not on stuff and not on things that are just going to burn up someday and be gone. Every bit of that library I have that's going to be burnt someday, gone, it's meaningless, it's worthless, it's not got a thing to do with eternity. So I got to be careful. Keep my passions in check. Make sure that my real passion, my main passion, is pieces. That's why I love you. That's why I care about you, every one of you. That's why I've, on purpose, if I haven't shaken your hand yet, then you come find me and shake my hand, because I made it my goal. I'm going to shake every hand. I don't care if I shake them half a dozen times. I want to shake everybody. And I do it on purpose. Why? Because I care. Because you matter. You matter to me and you matter to God. If you look somebody not in the eye and tell them that, it means something to them. Do you know how many people go through life and nobody tells them they care about them? You know how many people spend days and weeks and nobody says, I love you. Nobody says you matter. Nobody says you're special. That's what the church is all about. We tell people you matter. You're special. You're important. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son for you. He died on a cross for you. John chapter 1. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of these men who heard what John said and then followed Jesus. Verse 41. The first thing that Andrew did after he went to follow Jesus, he went to find his brother Simon and told him, we have found the Messiah. Then Andrew brought Simon to meet Jesus. And Jesus, looking intently at Simon, said, ooh. You don't have to figure people out. You don't have to fix people. You don't have to even understand people. Just bring them to Jesus. Just get them in the presence of Jesus. And Jesus will look them in the eye. And when Jesus looks you in the eye, everything changes. When Jesus gets your attention, and he looks beyond, and he looks into your soul, and he knows the story. That's why the woman said, I don't understand. This man knows everything I've ever done. He knows my story. No wonder she was drawn to him. No wonder her heart just immediately opened. You don't need to figure out, I don't know how this person will ever come to Jesus. This person, I don't know how, they're too confusing. I don't understand. Listen, you don't need to fix them. You don't need even really to do the work of connecting them. You need to do the work of bringing them to Jesus. Get them in the presence of Jesus. And Jesus will do the rest. Amen. Father, thank you for this beautiful day. I pray, Lord, you'll take the words that we've shared. Let them linger. I pray they'll remember circles today. I pray here at Evangel Bathurst, the circles. The circles will be formed outward so we can see others. It's an entirely different view when we focus outward. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray the message of every piece important. Missing pieces, broken pieces, connecting pieces. I pray that the message will linger in every heart. And I pray that you'll make it incredibly real for your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Those that are going to help us serve communion, would you come? You know, communion makes it all possible, right? I mean, it's why It's why we get to tell this story of mission, because Jesus came and gave himself for us. Not just for us, but for the neighbor, for the school teacher across the way, for the worker downtown. Jesus loves them all. Amen. Cares about them all. And it all comes back to communion. It makes it all possible. So today, listen, you don't have to be a member here at Evangel Bathurst to receive communion. If you're a follower of Jesus, you love Jesus, then I encourage you to take the bread and the juice and receive communion. Maybe you say, Pastor Tim, I've never taken communion in my life. And I just want to tell you that it would be a beautiful thing if you just gave your heart to the Lord this morning and communion was the first thing that you did. If you don't know the Lord today, He cares about you. He loves you. And if you confess your sin to Him in a moment of quiet prayer, confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. He'll forgive you. And you can receive communion. The scriptures encourages all of us who are believers to examine our heart. To just do a bit of an inventory. And I'll encourage you all today when you receive the bread and the juice to just take a moment as communion is served. And just be reflective about your own journey, reflective about your own life, to think about your own heart, and that you'd confess any sin to the Lord, that you just say, Lord, please cleanse me and wash me from my sin. As you receive this bread in this cup, there's two cups. The juice is in the top one, just underneath it. In the second cup is the bread. Receive it, hold your emblem, and we'll all partake together in just a moment, okay? God bless you. Amen. Go ahead. Thank you, Lord. Bless your name, Father. We worship you. We give you glory, Lord. Thank you. on. Let's everybody sing this out. Oh, praise the name. Let's worship Him together.
Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise His name forevermore. For endless days we will sing God's praise, O Lord. O Lord,
sing again to the Lord. Sing with all your heart.
Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise His name forever.
We will serve the platform and they can serve.
We will sing God's praise.
God good? Amen? Oh, thank you, Jesus. What a wonderful Savior. What a glorious Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank You for these emblems. Lord, as we receive the bread and drink the cup, Lord, may we remember and cherish and be thankful for what You did for us, what You did for our sons and daughters, what You did for our neighbors, what You did for our grandchildren, our co-workers, the random person we meet. You did it for us all, Lord, and may we forever be grateful. Scripture says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which He was betrayed, He took bread. When He had given thanks, He broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is My body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of Me.'" We are grateful for the broken body of Jesus. Oh, what love. Amen. Let's eat together and be thankful. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. In the same manner, He took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in My blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes." So may we all remember today Jesus is coming again. Amen. Let's be grateful and let's drink together. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Father. Let's all stand together all across the building. Let's just offer some praise and thanksgiving to the Lord together. Father, we're thankful. We're grateful. We worship You today. What a beautiful Savior. What a wonderful Lord. That You care that much. You love us that deeply. And Lord, we are grateful. We are thankful. In Jesus' name. Bob's coming to dismiss, to lead us in prayer. And I want to encourage you. Go find missing pieces. Amen. Go find lost pieces. Connect them, love them, bring them to Jesus, and Jesus will do the work. Amen. Bob, come. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Tim. Amen. Just came to my mind as we were having communion. Remember, being in the assembly in Truro for a visit, and on the back, underneath the door, the exit door, it says, now you're entering your mission field. That is so true. We believe today here at Evangel in a God that truly heals. Maybe you've come and you have needs in your body. We would like to pray for you, that God would touch you, set you free. So if that's you today, we would encourage you to come at this time. We will pray in prayer of faith over you. Father, we thank you for how you've ministered here today. We thank you for the word that you declared through our brother, O God. And I pray, Lord, that you would truly help each and every one of us to assess what we're doing right now. And Lord, we ask you in Jesus' name that help us, Lord, to go forth in purpose, that we would continue to connect, Lord, with those in our communities, O God. And we pray one by one they'll come to know you as their Lord and Savior. And Father, grant us a great week, Lord, as we go forth. And we also pray for Pastor Tim as he journeys back to his place, his home. We pray for protection. In Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen. If you'd like to come and spend some time with Jesus, we encourage that. God bless you. Have a great week.